So glad you joined us today for church in the afternoon, and we know it's a big deal to try to navigate schedules and timing and places, and again, those that take public transit, you're just our heroes. Honestly, we just think people taking multiple buses to get here and Ubers and taxis, we're just so thankful for you, and we believe it's worth it. We believe God's going to bless you today, and we just love that your families are here in church, and it's been a great morning already, hasn't it? How many of you feel God's presence this morning? How many are thankful for God's presence? Yeah, so good to be in church together. We're in a series called Keys for a while now, and we actually don't know when it's going to end. We're going to figure this out, but we believe there's key scriptures, that all scripture is inspired by God and important, but in our faith, there are key scriptures that we need to memorize, hang on to, know, because it'll change our prayer life. The Bible says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's power in his word. In our prayer rooms, we've been praying the Psalms, which really are Jesus' prayers. If you read scripture in the New Testament, Psalms are what Jesus prayed. They're actually like his prayer book. And as we pray Psalms, God's word back to him, miracles start to happen. And we're moving in the prayer room into God's promises. We're going to pray God's promises back to him. And we believe there's scriptures that we need to know. And today, we're going to, our key today, the scripture, which is going to be very familiar to many of us. You see it almost every Sunday in this church. It's a title, The Key Today, that, and if you were here weeks ago, we gave out keys that you could put on your keychain or on a bookmark. Just remind you that there are, God has keys. With keys come new levels. New entry, new places of access. And I believe God wants to take us as a church, as individuals, as families, to new levels of access. And we believe scripture is key to that. Can someone say amen? Our title today, our key today, is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you're there. If you can turn in scripture, you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible today, we have free Bibles up at the Guest Central. They were donated to us by the Canadian Bible Society. We're so thankful for them. And if you need a Bible, please grab it on the way out. They're yours. Please go grab one. We'd love for you to grab one if you're going to read it. And you can grab that on the way out. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me say it again because it is so good. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, Master, in charge, the boss, highly exalted, he is the greatest of all, he is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for every child right now that's hearing your word in Sunday school and kids ministry. I thank you for those school age and those that are preschool age. Right now, they're not being babysat. They're not being entertained. But Father, they are being taught the word of God and they're having fun doing it. Father, I bless those teachers and I bless those kids. Father, I thank you for every man and woman and teenager and young adult that's in this room right now. And God, our desire here is number one, to love you and to love each other. And God, I thank you for the community that you've grown here. Thank you for your grace and your patience and your help and your hope. Pray these next few minutes, Father, would be another brick in the wall of our foundation that we are building as individuals and as a church, that we would grow in faith, grow in trust, grow in holiness, and grow in knowing you. Father, thank you for what you're doing. And God, again, we pray for a building of our own, that God, you would help us find a building of our own. God, we dream of the days of children running through our buildings, songs being lifted up, conferences being had, people hearing the word of God, and us doing life in a building. God, bring us the building you have for us. And everybody said, yeah. Just want to remind you, you can give to the building every week. Me and Nancy give every paycheck. It's not a lot, but we give every single time we can. And we just mark it building or legacy or something, and you can give it all the time. And that is amazing. Here's a thought I had this week. We were at a men's conference. I was driving home on the highway and with my father, and we were driving, and I was thinking about this, how much life is easier than it used to be. Some of you are like, you don't know my life. I know life is very hard. It's very difficult. But overall, life is easier than it was years ago, and mostly because of technology. Technology has changed things and made things so much simpler, more efficient, faster than it used to be. I was thinking about mail. I remember it was a big deal to go check the mail. I now avoid checking the mail. Why? Because the only thing in there are bills or flyers. But there was a day as a kid, we were, can I check the mail? Can I check? No, you checked it yesterday. I think we got a letter. Blue's Clues, anyone? Just me. Boo, 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 boo. Okay, first time I've ever done a Blue's Clue impression, and we're never going to do it again. Thank you. If I lost a whole bunch of views, because you never had kids in the 2000s. But Checking mail. Now we don't send letters, we send texts and emails, and it's so much more efficient. You'd have to wait for responses for weeks if it was overseas, or you had to send one to a business, or if you had for a lawyer, or wait for a doctor, and all these things, or a friend, you had to send letters. It took forever, and now it's so quick with email, so quick with text. But I think we've lost some things in all the progress we've made. One of the things I think we've lost is the enjoyment of something. Like, there is a joy about writing a letter. Letters were these things we used to have. And stamps. Stamps are a whole thing. And we used to, there's an enjoyment of taking your time. I got a handwritten letter this weekend at a conference, a card from a great friend of mine. And it meant so much to me. And we've lost the joy of handwriting and picking out the right stationery and the right pen and the right words and carefully. And then putting it in the mail. And when you receive it, you're like, man, I can't wait to open this. You open it like you're hoping there's money in it, but you don't look like you're hoping there's money in the card from grandma. And the mail was a thing, and we've lost some of the enjoyment, though I love the progress of technology. I think another thing we've lost the enjoyment on, because things are easier, is food. Fast food. I had this memory, and I'm sure we did it, but I grew up, I don't remember ever going to McDonald's drive-thru as a kid. They existed, right? Like, I know I'm not that old. It existed. But I don't ever remember going, we're not cooking tonight, let's go through the drive-thru. My parents were budget conscious, but we never went out to eat, and we never went through drive-thru. Drive-thru is so much faster now, and microwaves and air fryers make everything quicker now. Me and Nancy had a budgeting and a health goal for March that we would not go through a drive-thru all of March. One of us kept to that promise, and the other one is preaching today. But it's so much faster. But you know what we've also lost? We've lost some of the art and the enjoyment of waiting. Like, my mother would cook bread on Saturdays, and it would take forever to make the dough and to, I'm going to pretend like I know how bread's made right now, and roll the dough. I remember she would put, like, cloth over it and have to rise, and then she'd bake it, and then she'd butter it with when it came out, and the anticipation, slow cookers and crock pots, and just you could smell it for days in the house before you ate it. There was an enjoyment in the process. I think we've lost some things. Travel. I love plane travel. I love how quick it is now. What used to take months, weeks, or days now takes hours. And I love traveling. I was reminded of this yesterday driving home from New Brunswick and just thinking, man, like, I don't enjoy road trips. I love the speed of flight. I love flying. People don't like flying. I am the most relaxed. I feel like I'm closer to God. I love flying, literally closer to God. I love flying. But it's so much quicker. But you know what? We've lost some things. And I think my kids, whether they know it or not, and I know I have, sometimes I think we've lost the appreciation for how much distance we travel when we fly. Because my kids don't think neighborhoods, they think provinces and countries now. My daughter's like, there's a really cool concert in BC, I should go. I'm like, who's paying for the flight, number one? Like, that's a big deal. And she's like, it's not a big deal, it's just a flight. And I'm like, she's actually right, it's just a flight. But we, somewhere in the time, we've lost the appreciation of how much effort it was to drive to another city, province, or country. Just last year, we went to Florida as a family, and we drove to Maine because the flights were cheaper from there, and then we parked our car, and then we got on an airplane. We went to Florida, had a great vacation on the way back. Our plane landed in New York. Some of you know the story, and they canceled our flights, and there's weather, and like, we can get you out maybe in a day, maybe 2 days, and we couldn't wait that long, so I said, we're going to rent a car in New York City. And I honked the horn as much as I possibly could. No one was even in front of me, but I'm like, I'm in New York. I'm driving here. And I'm like, I'm hitting the horn. It's like, why are you beeping the horn? I'm like, I'm allowed right now. And we drove home from New York to Maine, picked up our car, and 17 hours of driving. You're like, it doesn't take that long. It does when one of you wants to go to every Target along the way. But at the end of the route, at the end of the drive, after 17 hours, like, I look like the kind of guy that drinks a lot of energy drinks. People say that. I don't. People are like, you got to lay off. I don't drink energy drinks. Maybe one a year. Maybe. If I got to do a road trip or one of those five-hour energy shots. And my wife's like, those are bad for you, Mike. Do not have those. How much coffee have you had? Don't drink so much pop. I'm pretty healthy, whether I look it or not. This road trip was different. My wife's like, you need to stay awake. I'm not joking. At one point, she's going through the console, pulling out Red Bulls. Do you need another one? I was pouring, true story, I wish this was not true. I was pouring five-hour energy shots into Red Bull and chasing it with espresso because I got to stay awake. I do not enjoy road trips. And everybody said, but I do think we've lost sometimes the appreciation because of flying, how quick, and we lose the appreciation of, I can't believe I'm in Ontario. I can't believe I'm in on the West Coast. I can't believe I've traveled to Europe. I can't believe I'm in South America. I can't believe, because we go so quick. I want to encourage you today. My point is we're going to end this service in a little while. We're going to have communion together. We're going to take communion together as a church, and we're going to take the holy sacraments together. And communion is a celebration of the, please don't miss this, the destination of having a relationship with God. Communion doesn't change you, it doesn't save you, but it is a celebration of the journey and the destination of having a relationship with God. But sometimes I've lost the appreciation for the distance that's been covered to get to the destination of knowing Jesus. Sometimes if you're not careful, you get so used to knowing God, having access to God, to having forgiveness, to having power, having strength, that sometimes it's like, yeah, it's just, yeah, we're good with God. He loves us, he forgives us, he's with us. And somewhere, I think because it was done for us and we're so used to it and we kind of get there really quick, we've lost the appreciation for the road trip that it was to get there. Communion is a celebration of the destination. And today what I want to do is, very quickly, I want to take us on a journey, on a road trip. This is not Red Bull, and it's not a five-hour energy shot. But I want to take us on a road trip, and I want to end at the destination of communion. I want to take us on this road trip through the book of Romans that's going to get us to the destination. When we get there, we're going to celebrate with communion that we made it. Throughout history, I tried to Google how long we've been saying this as the church, global church, and I could not find it. There's some smarter people in the room than me that might know this answer, but I grew up learning the Romans Road. The Romans Road is four, depending who you ask, 4 to 6 scriptures in Romans that unpacks what God did for us in salvation on the cross, and then we enjoy it in communion. We're going to celebrate together in 1 Corinthians at the end of the service, having communion. But in Romans, there's these different verses that get us to what God has done for us. And we're going to end it with our key verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We're going to end there. But I want to start this road journey first. Are you with me? To appreciate the journey. So that when we take communion at the destination, going, we're here. God made a place for us. He made a way for us. We get to live in this destination. We can appreciate it a little more. Because we understand the journey to get to the destination to ignite our celebration. Amen? I want to talk today about the Romans Road through 4 verses today that unpack. This is what we take new believers through, that to understand what Jesus did for them. If you're new to church, you picked the right Sunday. We're going to unpack what it means, what Jesus did for us. If you've been going to church for a while, maybe you need a reminder that how much of a journey it was to get you to where you are today. The Romans Road. First mile marker on this journey today, in this Romans Road. I titled this, if you're looking for a road sign that would title this part of the journey, it's Everyone's Missed It. Everyone's Missed It. The first verse is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is the first verse of the Romans Road, of this mile marker on this journey to getting where we need to go. Everyone's missed it. Romans 3, 23 says it this way. It says, for everyone has sinned. Look at your neighbor and say, you a sinner. Look at your other person going, I'm never coming back to this church. No, okay. Everyone has sinned. Everyone. You, me, everyone has sinned. Watch this. We all, not some, not most, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. You need to know today that the first thing to appreciate the destination we're going to get to in a minute is you've got to start understanding how far the journey was that Jesus took us on. The first point is we all missed it. Everyone missed it. We have all sinned. We've all done things that are displeasing to God. Nobody is innocent. And because of sin, none of us get out of this alive. The guilt is real and we're all guilty. The Bible says all have sinned and all have done things that are displeasing to God. All sin is real and sin is powerful and sin has a grip. I'm so thankful for where we're getting, the destination, what God's done for us. But you need to know today, sometimes we don't celebrate well because we don't realize how far we've come. And we skip over it. Sometimes we just take for granted the flights that get us to our destination, to our vacations, to our family. Sometimes you need to get on the road and understand this was not an easy road. This was a troubled road. This was a bumpy road. This was a hard road. In fact, it's an impossible road. You need to know, first step, we've all missed it. Everyone has sinned. We've all done things that are displeasing to God. We've actually done things that have separated us from God. God cannot be with us because of our choices. born into sin because of the first Adam. His choices, it put a chasm between us. And some know we're guilty, but some of us think our efforts make us less guilty. You need to know today, it doesn't matter how much you volunteer, how many Girl Guide cookies you sell, how much you volunteer at your school, how much money you give in church, how much you give to the building, though we love when you do. Doesn't matter how many songs you sing, how many teams you serve on. Doesn't matter how well you behave. We are all guilty. The difference is some of us know it and some of us don't. Bible says we've all fallen short. We're all guilty. This is what sin does. If you go back a little bit to verses 10 to 18 of Romans chapter 3, it says this. It says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. Not able to be used because of the sin in our lives. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like a stench from an open grave. There's a visual. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those who it was given for this purpose, is to keep people from having excuses to show the entire world is guilty before God. You need to know we've all fallen short. You need to know that today. Trust me, hope is coming, but some of you need to be reminded. Some of you know God, you love God, you're following God. You need to know you started far from God. We're all far from God. We've all sinned. Second mile marker, the second town we're going to visit on this Romans road is number two, sin pays horribly. Romans 6:23. In the Romans road, Romans 6:23. For the wages, the paycheck, the cheddar, the money, the earnings of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I love seeing my kids experience payday for the first time when they get their jobs. And I teach them. We teach them what to do with their money. But I never forget one of my kids, they came home from work and it was the next, they woke up in the morning and now everything's automated. We're like, hey, your paycheck went in. They're like, I forgot about paychecks. You spot a church planting pastor's kid, right? Because they think, we're just serving. We're just serving winners. We're just serving HomeSense. We just serve our job. I get paid to do that? Yes, you get paid for that. You don't get paid on Sunday. You help us. But on the rest of the week, you go to a job and you get paid. And the awareness of, wait a minute, I get paid for what I do. You ever get surprised by an early paycheck because of a holiday and they give it a day early? Right? You have Starbucks taste or Apartment 3 taste, but you only got Tim Hortons budget that day. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, day early, I got paid. Something fun about payday. You know what? The Bible says that actually the wages, the payday of sin, what we get for our efforts is punishment by death. You make the mistake that we are earning things with our lives. We are getting paid for our decisions. We're getting paid for our choices. Oh, God, help me today. God, help us. The punishment for what we've earned from our sins is death, which is separation from God. It says eternally separated from God. Everything good and pure and holy is with God. And to die eternally away from God is to be separated from what is good, absent from God. And some of you like to be absent from God doesn't sound so horrible. God, give us a revelation of how good and wonderful and loving he is. We don't want to be separated from him. It's not just physical death, it's eternal death. But then the second part of the verse, in verse 23, it says, but eternal life is a free gift through Jesus Christ. Here's what you need to know. The first part of that verse is you get paid your paycheck for sin. The wages of sin is death. But then it says the free gift of God through Jesus Christ is salvation. So I'm just going to illustrate this really quick. I need someone on the front row, someone here that's the most like Jesus. Just point to somebody who's the most like Jesus. Tyler, you're the most like Jesus. All right. I love that you didn't volunteer yourself, but someone else volunteered you. No, you're staying right down there. I don't trust you enough to come up here with a microphone because you're a better preacher than me. You love Jesus more than me. And once you preach, they wouldn't want me to preach ever again. Turn around and look at these good-looking people. Now, I need a sinner on the front row. Who's the greatest sinner we can find? Point. Okay. Wow. You know what? That's the most best thing ever. They volunteered him for Jesus. You volunteered yourself. My God, you are beautiful. You are the best ever. Here's what it says in Scripture. It says that salvation is God's gift through Jesus Christ to us. I thought, how can I just demonstrate what's happened here? You're Jesus. This is salvation. It's a gift. God doesn't want to be far from us. He doesn't want to be separated from us. He goes, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to save mankind. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, through you, I want to give this gift to Amanda. You're not that big of a... You know what? We've all sinned and fallen short. You're a huge sinner, and so is the preacher today. But the sinner, which is all of us, I need to get this to you, but it says through Jesus. You take this, and you're going to deliver it to Amanda. Give that to Amanda. Right? Don't take it yet. Right? Come back here. So close. Did you get your guest bag? You need to go to Next Steps. No, you don't have to do any of those things. God has the gift of salvation. This verse says, through, God has the gift of salvation. You can't earn it. You can't come to church enough. You can't sit on the front row enough. You can't sing loud enough. You cannot earn it. It's a gift. You cannot earn gift. If you ever have someone that's unthankful is when they try to earn a gift you give them. You ever bless somebody and they're like, well, let me just pay you something for it. No, listen, I was away. I thought of you. I saw this. I want to get it for you. Okay, listen, how much can I pay you for that? It's a gift. And they feel like they're unworthy. They have to earn it. Go, no, I got to give you something for that. Well, I'm going to look up online. I'm going to donate to a charity because I have a hard time receiving that. That's so such a big gift, and we try to earn it. It says it's a gift, not wages. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of salvation, of eternal life, is salvation is a gift. And the way God delivers it, and please, I don't mean disrespect for this, it's almost like Jesus became the Amazon. God said, I need to get this to who needs it because you can't earn it. Because you can try. You can't cross that chasm enough. Doesn't matter how good you are, how much you try, you cannot get where you need to be. And God goes, listen, I have a gift. Jesus, through Jesus, can you deliver and give that to Amanda? Yes, you can take it. Thank you very much. You can grab a seat. That is the illustration of what that's saying there. It's saying through the gift of salvation, through Jesus Christ of eternal life. You need to know today that the wages of sin are death, but eternal life, salvation, is a gift. God gave us the gift delivered by Jesus. Number three on this road is Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8 on this journey. It says great love. That would be the town on this journey, great love. We went through the town of everyone's missed it. Number two, the town of sin pays horribly, and now we're at this great love, Romans 5:8. Let me read this. You'll see it on the screen behind me. But God showed great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. Let me read that again. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, the delivery that Jesus had to take, the delivery route to get it to us, had to go through the grave and hell. We couldn't cross that. We couldn't do that journey on our own. Amanda, representing all of us, couldn't get there on her own. But Jesus took the journey. Jesus died for us. Jesus paid death. Jesus' death paid for the price of our sins. Listen, Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepted Jesus' death as payment for our sins. That his death was closed the bill. The debt was full payment. Death's account that says, no, because of sin, you owe me, God. There's death is never full. Hell is never full. Death is never satisfied. Jesus' death closed the account and paid it in full. And because he rose, he was saying, by the way, the debt's paid. I don't need to stay down anymore. There's no, death is defeated. Death is filled. Death is paid. And Jesus' resurrection is proof that debt was paid of death. Because death could not keep him because it was paid in full. There's nothing else to be done here. Our transaction is complete. Death, you are paid in full. It is done. And because of that, Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection is proof that the debt has been paid. Some of you are starting to understand the journey that we've been on. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I'm so thankful that the gift of salvation through Jesus' death and his resurrection gave us eternal life as a gift. I was earning death and hell through my sin, but I was gifted salvation through Jesus Christ. What does it mean, salvation through Jesus Christ? He is the delivery. His life was the mechanism. His life was the vehicle for which the gift was transported and given to us. Number four on this journey, which leads us to our key verse today, that you need to memorize today. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Notice it doesn't say go to church. Though if you're a follower of Jesus, church is a priority. And I say that because some people have mistaken going to church for following Jesus, and they're not the same. I've been faithful to go to church since I was 5 years of age. But in my life, when there's been troubles, it's when I have not followed Jesus in his way. The Bible says to receive this gift on this journey is to follow Jesus. Romans 10:9, that's our verse today. If you openly declare in your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you receive this gift? It's one thing to be given it. It's another thing to deliver it, but you have to receive it. See, what's amazing is this is where we miss it sometimes, is God goes, I have a gift of salvation. I want to restore the gap. I want to get rid of the barrier. I want to bring people back to me, their wages. I want to cancel their wages. I want to pay their debt. I have a gift. And he says, Jesus, I need you to deliver this gift. And I'm not going to get you to do it again, but it would take Tyler coming up and as Jesus and grabbing the gift. And then he goes to Amanda and going, here is your gift. But at some point, Amanda has to reach out and receive it. And what's happened, whether you know it or not, God has already sent the gift. Jesus has already taken possession of the gift, and he has run towards us. The Bible says, while we were still a long way off, he ran to us, going, I got something that's going to change your life. I've got something that's going to change you. Listen, when you unwrap this, and he gets to the door, he stands at the door and knocks. But the final piece is us receiving it. I get deliveries to my house all the time from Amazon. And you can do everything right, but if no one opens the door and brings it in, it gets soaked in the rain, it gets neglected, it gets set out. Listen, the missing piece of this is Romans 10:9. He's already sent the gift. Jesus already delivered the gift. He already paid the price and defeated hell in the grave. His resurrection is proof that debt has been paid. It's good news. The thing missing is receiving the gift. How do we receive that gift? That's Romans 10:9. He had the gift, Jesus delivered the gift, and then we have to receive this gift. Our key verse this week. Let me read it again. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do you receive? How do you receive? Is you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth, openly declare that Jesus is Lord. You have to receive it. Let me read verses 10 to 13 about receiving. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew or Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Please don't forget the problem. The problem we started with, mile marker one. All have fallen short. Everyone misses it. This journey started with this rough part of town that we've all missed it. But it ends in a place that is a free gift for everyone. All have fallen short and missed it. All are going to reap through their paycheck of sin, nothing but death and separation from God. All have fallen short. But it ends with everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, listen, God is so good. A big problem needed a big solution. A big hell and a big sin needed a big God. All fell short and everyone can receive. This is the good news of the gospel. I want to pull over now and just look at the view. We just traveled. There's a huge problem. Payday's coming. And it's not good, it's death. But God wanted to give us the gift of salvation. Jesus, you needed to deliver this through your life and through his perfect life. His death, his resurrection paid the debt, and he delivers it to us. And then we simply receive by faith, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord. We receive it. Let's go back and look at this view that God's blessed us with. Let's look at Romans 5:1, our last verse today, Romans chapter 5:1. Says it this way. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. What's faith? Faith is the receiving of the gift. Some of you are like, oh, I just need more faith. No, it's not your faith that makes you saved. Faith is what receives what God did. Sometimes churches are like, you just got to have more faith. You're sick because you don't have enough faith. Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in Jesus, who did it. Sometimes it's like, I just got to grow my faith. Sometimes I grow up in places where it's like, you just need more faith, brother. People were sick. I'm not sick. I'm not going to confess that. I have too much faith for that. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in Jesus. We're made right by in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. We have peace with God. Listen, if you don't, I've never experienced peace with God. It is a gift. You get to look back after a road trip and look back and go, look where we've come. Look what we get to see. Look at the view we have. Look at this scenery. Look at where we are. And sometimes we just get there and go, yeah, that's cool. And we wonder why we don't worship. We wonder why we don't enjoy his presence. We wonder why prayer is a burden. Sometimes I think we get there too quick. Because I thank God for legacy and families and friends. But sometimes we just got there because we were around our parents or our siblings or our friends. And sometimes we didn't understand. It's a road trip to get here. And thank God he took us on this journey and he did all the work. And it says here, when we get to look back, he says, therefore, we have been made right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the sight of God, we have peace because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to God's sharing God's glory. We have peace with God. Communion is the celebration. In a moment, Pastor Nancy's going to take you through communion. In a moment, we're going to have the bread and we're going to have the juice. It says, remember what I've done for you. Listen, I think we're going to appreciate it maybe at a new level now because it's not just, it's communion. It's, no, wait a minute. It took a while to get here. It took eternity to get here. It took heaven defeating hell. It took a great God and a willing Jesus. It took the cross, and it took defeating the grave and hell, and it took me by faith receiving. Oh, God, I will remember what you've done. Can we stand to our feet all over this place? Our worship team's going to lead us. Here's what's going to happen. We haven't done it this way as a church. Our ushers even now are coming forward. As we sing this song, they're going to hand the emblems down the aisle. Will you just take one? Just take one and just sing. Can you just reflect on this road trip? I want you to go back to where you were when he found you. And thank God that though your paycheck was coming, God canceled your paycheck and gave you a gift. You don't want that paycheck, it's death. Let me give you a gift of salvation. And as they even start passing it now, even ushers, pass it down, grab one. Can we sing this song together? At the end of this song, together, we're going to take the emblems and we're going to celebrate. We'll have a celebration of the destination that came from a journey that God took us on. Amen. Come on, worship team. Can you sing us as the ushers pass the emblems? Let's worship together.
This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, whatever you want to. I will make room for you. You want to.
49 in April, or in March, sorry, and I had been going through some pictures, and I had found a picture of when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I grew up in a Catholic church, which was just so beautiful because they taught us about the sacraments of Holy Communion and Eucharist and holy matrimony and all the things. And it was a big deal when you were that little tiny. You would dress up for your Holy Communion. This picture was of me in a white dress, little pleats all the way down the front, a little satin white belt, and a high-collared little blouse, which had a little frill, which is one of my favorites still. My friend's like, you buy that shirt every time. And you actually even wore a veil. Like, I mean, this little picture is the sweetest thing ever. And my journey began there for Holy Communion at 7 or 8. And the Spirit of God was on me in those moments. And I'm so grateful for that teaching. I'm so grateful for the Spirit of truth that came in my Catholic school to teach me. I met a friend today, Pat, and we were talking. We were walking around to the back entrance, and we were talking about the Catholic practices. I'm so grateful for the Spirit of God in those moments. But I just want to say there was one favorite part of Holy Communion, and it was a revelation on my insides that I got to get to participate, that I was invited, that when Jesus, I learned what he did. And I don't know that I would have even understood the gravity of how much he was going to do and save me in my journey. But even just as a little tiny, a 7 and 8 year old, I knew I was on his mind when he hung on that cross. This morning, we want a moment with Jesus. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And my prayer for you today is this: no matter how old you are, or no matter how much what your journey has looked like, that you would get a divine revelation today of the Holy Communion that Jesus thought about you when he hung on the cross. He thought about those diseases you were going to battle. He thought about the disconnect that was going to happen. He thought about the parents that he gave you. They were going to fall short, and you were still going to have to find your journey. He knew all those things. So would you just, again, does everybody have their communion, their emblems? If you don't, just give a little hand up. Everybody's good. You can go ahead and just rip the paper off the top to get the wafer. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, it just blows my mind that he was betrayed, but then he follows up with thankfulness. Only our God. If you feel betrayed today, can you be thankful for the cross? Don't be led with the wrong spirit. That was free for somebody, freedom. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, Nancy. This is my body, Joe. This is my body, Joel. This is my body, Tyler." Do this in remembrance of me. He did this for you. Would you take the bread today? Jesus, thank you. You can go ahead and peel back another lovely layer of our foil. That little girl didn't know what the blood of Jesus signified. Another couple of things that I was taught was confirmation and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So many wonderful parts of my life that I learned as such a little kid, but then the journey does some other things to your heart. But the blood of Jesus is like no other atonement. There's nothing else in this world that can beat the blood of Jesus and the barrier and the protector and the covering that it is over your life. It says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. New covenant. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You can go ahead and take the juice. Almighty God, I believe over your people today. Take the cup in your hand for a second. I believe in your people today, God, that they would have a divine revelation. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, they would rise up on the inside and understand what you've done for them and what you're going to do. Father, no matter how old or how young we are, you are moving on this earth. God, with thanksgiving, we praise you for what you've done. This is not a tradition. This is not just religion, Father. This is power. In remembering what you've done, you've invited us, God. You call us to participate, so I pray over our hearts today that they would feel your presence, Almighty God, that they would be set free. Father, it was for healing that you died for us and shed your blood. Almighty God, we will tell the story of how faithful you are over Jendira, how faithful you are over Erica, how faithful you are over my life. With the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray for continued healing over your people. Father, I pray for continued healing against offense and disappointment and loneliness and rejection and the things that try to lead us. Father, we plead the blood today. We plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus today. In just a minute, I know that there's people in this room that may not even know. Mike, you can come back up. Nancy, what do you even mean? Mike, what are you guys even talking about? There is such an intentionality with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus that there's nothing by chance. There's everything on purpose. He does everything on purpose, and there's a time, and there's a place, and there's a moment. And this one just might be for you. Might just be for you.
So I just want to give a chance for a moment. If you've never prayed that prayer, you've never received the gift. It's already been paid for. It's already been sent on delivery. You just have to open the door of your heart and say, "I believe." How do you receive? Our verse today, our key, we put it up there. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With every head bowed just for a moment, every eye closed just for a moment, I want to know who needs the delivery today. You just needed to receive that today. It's not everybody in this room. Many have already prayed this prayer, but it's somebody in this room. Openly declare, going, "Yeah, I want Jesus. I want to receive that gift. I don't want the paycheck of sin. I want the gift of knowing Jesus." With every head bowed, if that's you, say, "Mike, pray for me." Can you raise your hand all over this place? If that's you, I wonder who I'm praying for today. Put it right back down. Thank you. Put it right back down. Put it right back down. Anyone else? Last chance. Oh, you got more chances with God. I just want to give a moment right now. Last chance. You put it right back down. Right back down. Let's pray. God, I thank you for these amazing men and women and teenagers. Father, I pray right now their heart would be open. Can we all say this together? Say, "Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for paying my debt.
Thank you for paying my debt.
I receive the gift.
I receive the gift
of eternal life from God.
Of eternal life from God.
I believe that you're God.
I believe that you're God.
And you raised from the dead.
And that you raised from the dead.
Change my life.
Change my life.
Lead my life.
Lead my life.
I receive you.
I receive you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name."
And everybody said, "Amen." Come on, can we celebrate? Can we celebrate today? Come on, Pastor Matt, can you lead us today? Can we go out celebrating today because we know the destination and the journey and the celebration of what God's done today? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, church.
All right, church, we're going to celebrate before we go. Come on, let's see you move. This is
Nothing you don't see.